You know what that sound means? It's another episode of Game for a Movie, where we ask, are you game for a movie? My name is Mike. I will be your host this evening. We have a crazy movie set up for you. First off, a couple things to get out of the way. Just some finer things, everything like that. This was supposed to be an episode on Leprechaun 2, but somebody, and I'm not going to name names, but it begins with an M and ends with an Ike, drank too much and passed out on St. Patrick's Day. And kind of let the time get away, so it was a lack of time between recordings and everything like that. And it just didn't feel right to do Leprechaun 2 in April, if that makes sense to you. The person that guessed it correctly still gets their shout out in this episode. I think I found a movie that is pretty similar to what we were expecting from Leprechaun 2. And in the future, Leprechaun 2 may happen further down the road, but probably on St. Patrick's Day next year. But yeah, it just didn't make sense to do that well after St. Patrick's Day, if that makes sense. So we found a different movie. Again, same kind of level. I feel like that an interesting movie to talk about. Some other things as well. We have some life changes happening and everything like that. Obviously, I was at Mitchell's wedding not that long ago. We've got Andre and Jill's wedding coming up as well. And so there are just some life changes that are keeping us apart, keeping the podcast, I'll say, not as frequently produced. That being said, I'm constantly thinking about it. I'm trying to find ways to constantly promote and do things for it. So we are not going anywhere. It just may be, there may be some weeks where there's some time in between episodes. It's not on purpose. It's just life gets in the way. And I think a lot of you podcasters that are listening in completely understand that. And some of you people that are listening, maybe you understand that too. We all have things that hit our lives and just affect us in different ways. I am trying my best to keep this podcast going as long as I can, as well as to give you the utmost perfection of content that we want to provide. Some of the times I've recorded some episodes or started recording and I just don't feel good about it, so I don't release it or I do something different, that kind of stuff. And that's also some of the things that get in the way of us releasing episodes. We strive for a certain quality. We strive for a certain quality of bad movie. So there are certain things that have made the cutting room floor that you haven't heard. And it's a choice more so than anything, because we want to provide you with the best content we possibly can. So that's a lot of stuff to talk about that just needed to get out there. Basically, it's just going to be, there's going to be some weeks in between that we don't release episodes. We're going to try our best to release it as often as we can, but there are some life changes that we are all going through that make it hard to do episodes weekly. So we are still striving for at least bi-weekly, but sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. That's a lot to get out of the way. So, sorry about all that. I'm back to my beer. And what beer am I drinking? This is Brotherly Love Hazy IPA from Victory Brewing Company. It is 6%, and it is a tropical IPA, is what I would say. I got a pack of Victory Brewing that's all kind of tropical flavors and stuff. This one's pretty good. I would say this is my favorite of the pack so far. I've had 3 of the 4 flavors. This is probably my favorite of the pack. The one I had last night, I can't remember the name off the top of my head, but that was probably 2nd. And the first one was definitely 3rd. Going to have the 4th one probably later tonight. Just a spoiler alert. All right, you're sick of all that nonsense. You're sick of all that beer talk, probably. I don't know. You may actually like the beer talk. Who knows? We crack a beer open every episode. You can see that on our Instagram as well. Basically, you can find us anywhere at Game for a Movie. We're on Threads now even, so please continue to follow us on wherever we are, especially if things like TikTok go down or X/Twitter, whatever it may be. Just be prepared. That's what I'm going to say. So if you like the Game for a Movie content, you can also sign up for our newsletter. I release a newsletter probably once a month where I talk about a certain topic every month. This one, since it's April showers, was all about rain in movies. And I think I did a pretty good job with it, if you don't mind me saying so. All right, let's get started, shall we? Let's talk about a movie that I have on the same level as Leprechaun 2. It's a movie that features a lot of skin, a lot of swear words, a lot of piranhas. It is Piranha 3DD. Yes, that is correct. Piranha 3 Double D. If that title doesn't say what you are in for, I don't know how to help you, because legitimately they spelled it out for you. It is Double D. It's not 3DD. You're supposed to read it as 3 Double D. The poster, of course, had a woman in a scantily clad bikini and some piranhas behind her in the water. And, you knew what you got. Like, you knew what you were going into and everything like that. I had a lot of choices. This one seemed like one that would be a lot of fun to watch, even though it's awful. And I'm pretty confident that's what I got with that. That's exactly what I wanted with it, and it delivered what was on the tin. This movie is from 2012. It runs about an hour and 23 minutes. On Rotten Tomatoes, it has an 11% critic score and a 22% audience score. And that feels pretty much about right. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't reinvent the wheel or anything like that. You got exactly what it said it was. Piranha, DD, Double D. And it was piranhas, boobs, and that's basically it. It doesn't go very farther down the surface level. The director of this film is John Gulager. I think that's how you pronounce it. G-U-L-A-G-E-R. Gulager. He has 9 directing credits to his name. He's got more acting and cinematographer credits. I think he's definitely more of a cinematographer. And it showed in this movie, too. He did a really good job with the cinematography on this movie, even though it's not a good movie. Some of the things he's known for directing was the Feast series. Feast 2, Sloppy Seconds, and Feast 3, The Happy Finish. All of these are basically, besides the first one, direct to DVD. Zombie Night is a TV movie he also did, and Children of the Corn Runaway, another straight-to-video movie. This is the only one, or one of two, that got feature-length releases in theaters. I say this was released in theaters, and it was. In the U.S., though, it only hit 75 theaters nationwide. 95% of the film's box office receipts came from overseas, including Malaysia. Really loved this movie, surprisingly. I don't know why, but, you know, good for Malaysia. Some other fun facts: everyone got to keep a piranha fish egg when filming was over, and most of the actors and actresses were given scuba training, because there's a lot of times where, obviously, they're underwater. So, especially with the lead character in this, she had a ton of scenes, and apparently she's not a very strong swimmer, so it definitely helped her out to get at least a little more comfortable in the water. And that is played by Danielle Panabaker. She played Maddie, the main heroine of the film. That's some behind-the-scenes stuff. This movie was made for about $5 million, and its gross worldwide was about $8 million, a little over $8 million, really $8.5 million. It was filmed in Wilmington, North Carolina, so that's part of the reason why I've known about this movie and I've wanted to watch it, now living in Charlotte. That's basically all I got with that. Let's get into some fun with it. Obviously, this movie was rated R, so if you are young and you're listening to this, get ready for some swear words, get ready for some talk about skin, and get ready for some piranha attacks. So, the very beginning of the movie starts with news position. If you've not heard what news position is before, basically it's a newscast recapping the events of the first movie, which makes it really easy if you have not seen the first movie. Basically saying what happened at Lake Victoria and that now the piranhas are thought to be eliminated or thought to be at least hibernating. And of course, it ends with, if it happened here, can it happen again? And if so, where? This introduces us to our first two characters that are very small roles. It's two farmers that are wondering what happened to their cow. And basically, one of the farmers is, of course, played by Gary Busey. This is the first of many celebrities that will be in this movie, and Gary Busey's role is a whole of 5 minutes at most. I don't even know his name at this point. Literally, I don't know if they even go into it, but Gary and his buddy Farmer are looking for a cow, and they find it dead in the water. They believe that it has drowned. It just didn't get up and succumbed to the water, pretty much. And so, as they're trying to, like, scoop it up and get it out of the water, the cow, you notice that something's coming out of it. and you're really worried. You're like, oh no, is this the beginning? Oh God, it's gonna be the piranhas, everything like that. It's gonna bust out of the cow, and it's a fart. Yes, this movie has started with Gary Busey as a farmer with a dead cow and a fart joke. And not just any fart joke. It keeps going. And so the boys both decide that they want to like kill the smell. And so they basically light a lighter. And that's enough to blow up the cow and release all the piranha eggs from her belly. And they all hatch immediately. The one guy that we don't know his name or who it is as an actor is eaten immediately. And Gary is trying to get out of it, but he can't get out. And basically, he grabs one of the piranhas, he bites his head off for no reason, spits it towards the camera, and then dies, succumbs to the bites of the piranhas. Why did he bite the head and spit it towards the camera, you might ask? Well, this movie is shot exclusively in 3D. So, even though I wasn't watching a 3D screen with the 3D glasses, you can tell that this was one of those things that was supposed to fire a piranha face into your view. So there we go. Gary Busey is dead, and so is his buddy, the other farmer. And that's all we see from it so far. Basically, just to reintroduce the piranhas, say they're back, they've hatched, and they are on another killing spree. They don't address it really, but the lake they're on, or the water system they're on, basically gets its water from Lake Victoria, which is where the first one had all the piranha problems and everything like that. So next scene, we're probably going to get an introduction of where they are headed, where they are going. The next scene, it's the next day, and it is David Kochner. He is Chet, and he is the water park owner of the Big Wet Water Park. That's what it's called, the Big Wet. Nothing gets you wetter than the Big Wet Water Park. That is the theme. Yes, it is going to be a lot of these kind of jokes. Part of it is its charm for that, and the fact that it's a B-movie like this, and part of it is just, oh, make it stop. Come on, what are we doing? David Kochner, if you don't know who I'm talking about, is Champ Kind in the Anchorman movies. He's the slightly balding guy. He's got the hair on the side, you know, the whammy, that guy in Anchorman. That's the best way I have to describe him. He's been in a bunch of other stuff. You probably have seen him. You probably know who he is. Even if you don't know his name, he's definitely one of those actors that's like, oh, I recognize him, but I just did not recognize his name. Pretty much his character is he's a pervy water park owner. The co-owner of the Big Wet Water Park is Maddie, his stepdaughter. Now, the wife slash mother died somewhere along the line. We don't know how or anything like that. And Maddie and Chet just kind of don't see eye to eye. Now, they both agreed that they were going to make this water park and everything like that. But Chet has done some things that kind of rub Maddie the wrong way, including Chet has created an adults-only section of this water park, and instead of, you know, hiring lifeguards, anything like that, he's hired strippers. So as we are 10 minutes into this movie, you walk into the adults-only section of the water park, and there's nothing but boobs. Boobs everywhere. Thus, Double D, again. I don't know what you were expecting from this movie. If you want me to say something different, that's just what it is. It's just a part of the movie, and spoilers, they actually come back into play later. Chet's proud of himself because he's saying this is the first stripper water park ever with an adult pool and naked women. And Maddie is back from college with a bunch of her friends that are going to work there for the summer. Already, I love how much cannon fodder there is. Obviously, we've got the strippers and everything like that. But we also have this group of teenagers, that majority of which even further into the movie, you're just kind of like, oh, they're just here to get eaten. Great. I love it. I'm here for this. Some of these names, just to make it easier for you, are Barry, Shelby, Josh, Kyle, Big Dave, Ashley, and Travis. These are the names of the teenagers. Their personalities are wide array. Shelby is the virgin, and she is trying to get it on with her boyfriend, or she's trying to get it on with Josh. She wants to lose her virginity this summer to Josh. There's also Kyle, who is an ex of Maddie's, but there's still some tension there. And he works as a police officer. He comes in uniform most of the time. There's Barry. Barry's like the unrequited love puppy of Maddie. He basically is smaller and, you know, weaker and that kind of stuff. And he loves Maddie, but doesn't know how to share it. Big Dave is the marijuana smoking stoner slacker of the group. And Ashley and Travis, they are together. Ashley's kind of, for lack of a better term, a little bit of a slut. Travis is looking to get on with her. And that's pretty much all what you need to know. Basically just a bunch of horny teenagers that are just having a party now that they're all back together a couple days before the big wet is set to open. After the party kind of dies down, Shelby and Josh decide they're going to go towards the water, not in the water park, but the adjoining lake, river, whatever it is, outside of the water park. And Shelby convinces Josh that they should get naked and have a little fun skinny dipping and everything like that. And so they get together, get a little close, and all of a sudden Shelby gets hurt. Somehow, some way, she gets hurt, and she thinks that it's Josh hurting her, so she gets mad and leaves the water. And basically, Josh is left in there. Meanwhile, Ashley and Travis are in a shaggin' wagon, as I like to call it. It's one of those old-school vans that, you know, has the shag carpeting, everything like that, where they are praying before they have sex. Ashley, as I said, is a little bit of a whore. She wants to pretend like she's a goody two-shoes, but she prays for forgiveness before she has sex again. And not only does she want to have sex, she has kinky handcuffs. So Ashley handcuffs Travis to the table, and she climbs on top of him, and they start getting a little frisky. The van, though, starts to move into the water. Ashley doesn't seem to notice, but Travis definitely does, and points out that they are sliding into the water and that she needs to figure it out. In the ordeal of the van moving, she drops the key to the handcuffs. As the water starts to drift into the van, Ashley needs to find a way to find the key or get out and help Travis, and she doesn't do either really well. Travis is basically getting covered in water, and not just that, guess what's in the water? If you guess sharks, you're wrong. It's piranhas. The piranhas start nipping at Travis, including biting his hand. So I'm actually thinking this is kind of a good thing. Like, as much as you don't want to lose a hand, if they bite your hand off, you can get out of the van and out of the water. Also, Ashley gets out of the van, and she just sits on top of it while it's going into the water, and hearing that Travis is basically yelling and screaming, getting eaten, and he dies. I don't know how big this river or lake is that they are on, but Shelby and Josh were just in the water, and it's insinuated it's the same time frame. How did they not hear everything that was going on or anything? So that's night one, and Travis and Ashley are dead. Ashley mostly because she just sat on top of the van instead of, you know, trying to get out of the water, including they were not far from the shore at all. Remind you, this is just a van that rolled down a hill and started sinking. It's not going that far away. She could have easily gotten out. And I know that some of you may say, well, there's piranhas in the water and she's getting eaten, everything like that. They've shown already Gary Busey's character was able to travel at least like 10 feet while getting eaten. It's not a good feeling, I'm sure, but I think Ashley could have made it the 5 feet, gotten out of the water, and not gotten eaten. Instead, she just sat in the van as it slowly went into the river and drowned poor Travis while he's also getting eaten. And Ashley either succumbed to drowning herself or piranha bites just sinking into the water. It goes to the next day, and neither Ashley nor Travis show up, but it's just no big deal. They just don't say anything about it. It's just kind of, oh, no, Ashley, no, Travis, I guess they overslept or something like that. That they don't even address that. Just Ashley and Travis don't show up. We also learn a little bit about Shelby's insecurities. Basically, she's asking Josh, do you think Ashley is prettier than me? And Josh jokes with her and goes, no, I hate girls with big boobs. basically they go about their day. They're setting up, getting ready for the big opening day, everything like that. We see people like Big Dave, for example, is in the water, and he just so happens to be fucking the pool jet. This is not important for any reason. I just wanted to include that. Big Dave is, again, your stoner, goofy guy. So what happens next, you might ask? Well, Kyle, being one of the cops, has found the Shaggin' Wagon. They found it drowned, and they've also found the bodies of Travis and Ashley. And so he comes to tell the other teens that, hey, they're dead. They drowned or something. Something ate them. They don't know what. And Shelby is immediately sad. And so she decides she's going to run off and go sit on the dock by the river, lake, whatever it is. They don't address what it is, so I'm going to keep saying river, lake, whatever it is. The first movie was Lake Victoria, so this leads me to assume it's like a river or something instead of a lake, and especially because it's not that wide. I guess you can't call it much of a lake, but who knows? I don't know. It could be a lake or whatever. So Shelby is on the dock. Maddie decides that she's going to... I just realized that all of the women's names are like Ashley, Maddie, Shelby, all ending in a Y and everything like that. Okay, well, that's something I just realized. Maddie goes to check in on Shelby because she knows that her and Ashley were close and wants to comfort her and everything like that. And so they're having a moment, and all of a sudden the dock gets knocked over. And basically, Shelby and Maddie are both in the water, and Shelby sees the piranhas, and one bites her, and she realizes they need to get out of there. Maddie is able to get out. She's holding her hand to Shelby. Shelby's able to climb on the dock, and the dock breaks and splits apart. Shelby is so worried. She can't do it. She can't make the jump, and I'm like, it's a foot, girl. She has her hand out and everything. Like, just jump. What are you doing? Well, she finally makes the jump, and it catches everybody off balance, so both her and Maddie slide into the water, and again, they're getting, like, nipped at and everything like that, and they're both able to get out. Basically, after their ordeal, Shelby is feeling sick, and she throws up. But not just, like, a normal throw-up. You know why? Because this movie's 3D, so of course we gotta have a projectile vomit on the audience. After the projectile vomit, because 3D and everything like that, the girls come back to the guys and tell them that there was piranhas in the water and that they think it's the ones from Lake Victoria and that they need to get everybody out of there now. Barry seems to know the scientist, that there's a scientist, this crackpot scientist on YouTube and everything like that, that knows everything about the piranhas, so they can try to reach out to him and try to figure out what he knows and how they can get rid of their piranha problem. They knock on the door, and lo and behold, opening the door is the piranha expert, Christopher Lloyd. Yes, Christopher Lloyd is in this. He plays Mr. Goodman, basically this YouTube crackpot that has all these theories about the piranhas and everything like that. He was in the first movie, and he's going to teach them all about the piranhas. We're going to learn more. We're going to take a break. And by take a break, I'm going to give a shout out to the people that guessed the podcast or guessed the bad movie right. Again, this was supposed to be Leprechaun 2. So the first one to get it was X Radio X Podcast. It is a music podcast. You can find them at X Radio X 1 on Twitter, or X as it's called. You know, basically their show. Matt and Jace are two ex-college radio guys who became ex-professional radio guys who are now professionally guys in other professions. Tune in to see if you get Matt and Jace, Proof Rock and Jace the Ace, the Doctors of Love, or maybe you'll just get two guys yelling at people to get off their lawn. Whichever pair shows up, you'll get two guys talking about things they want to talk about in the way they want to talk about them, because there is no pesky program director to tell them they're doing it wrong. As a former radio guy myself, these guys are an absolute blast. So be sure to check out at X Radio X, the music podcast. Thank you guys very much for guessing. We appreciate it. And I know that you had said that Jace's birthday was recently. Happy birthday. It's a little belated, but happy birthday, Jace. Thank you guys. X Radio X podcast. Check them out, of course, after you finish listening to us. So we're back. Barry, Kyle, and Maddie are at Christopher Lloyd's place, Mr. Goodman, and they are talking with him about what to do with these piranhas, like what they can do and everything like that. Shelby, after throwing up, her and Josh are hanging out basically to make her feel better and everything like that. Barry is connecting on a personal level with Mr. Goodman, Christopher Lloyd, and Maddie kind of finds it endearing. And you can kind of tell at this point, I know I said it already, but it's kind of at this point you kind of realize that obviously Barry has a crush on Maddie, but Maddie is kind of with the police douche Kyle, as well as that Maddie just kind of never seen this side of Barry before. One of the things that Mr. Goodman shows is that these piranhas, even if there's galvanized steel, yes, he says galvanized steel, in between the piranha and something he wants, the piranha can still break through the steel. That's the important thing that we learn from this whole thing. Essentially, they come up with this plan. They need to make sure that the grates on the outside of the water park that go out to the lake, basically, they need to make sure that all of them are sealed, secure, and that the piranhas can't get through and get to the people in it, especially because tomorrow is the opening day of the Big Wet Water Park. As I said, Shelby and Josh are away from this group. Basically, they are at Josh's place. Shelby is having problems. She's not feeling well, everything like that. And Josh is just trying to comfort her. And Shelby knows what she wants. And this is an exact quote. "Make love to me. I feel like something is wrong, and if there is, I don't want to die a virgin." Josh, being the well-thought man that he is, goes, "Uh-huh," and basically takes off his clothes right away. I want you guys all to know where the scene is going. I think you can all probably guess where the scene is going and why Shelby is not feeling well, and why it is a bad idea that she has sex with Josh. This is also interspersed with the scene of Barry, Kyle, and Shelby getting to the drainage parts, and Shelby is looking for help so that they can all do this. Kyle is basically, "I'll be lookout because I don't want you to get busted for swimming in this area because it's a crime scene." Barry can't swim. And so Barry and Kyle just let Maddie swim on her own to make sure the drainage pipes are good. Mind you, and this is a very big mind you, Mr. Goodman / Christopher Lloyd showed them a demo that with the right amount of interest, they can break through galvanized steel. I don't believe these drainage pipes that they have are more strong than galvanized steel, especially because they look like white plastic filters, pretty much. They're just there to catch things, that to make sure they don't go in the lake when they drain. Maybe that's just me, but you're about to have an opening day of a water park. There's going to be a bunch of people there. Do we think this is a good idea, or should we just, you know, close the water park and not introduce all these humans to make these piranhas so hungry? Maddie has a scare in the water, but it's nothing too big. She's able to get out of it, and everything seems fine. They all are happy with everything going on. So Barry goes a separate way. Kyle and Maddie have a little conversation, but then they go their separate ways. And then we go back to Shelby and Josh. Shelby and Josh are getting it on. They're having a good time, you know? They're feeling it. Everything feels good. And then all of a sudden, ow, ow, ow. Shelby is not doing well. She's in pain. And at first she just thinks, oh, she's a virgin, it's going to hurt a little bit, that kind of thing. And then she realizes it's not just virgin things. She really wants him to stop. And then she goes into a seizure because a piranha was inside Shelby and came out of her vagina and bit the shit out of Josh's dick. And Josh is freaking out because his piranha won't let go of his dick. And so the only thing he has the idea to do was to grab a knife and chop off his dick with the piranha. After that happens, Shelby comes out of her seizure and Josh yells at her, "You bitch, you did this to me." And he falls, succumbing to a loss of blood, and passes out. She's confused, but then sees not only the dick, but the smashed piranha on the ground of the apartment. Basically gets him to the hospital and calls Maddie on the way to tell her what happened, and she rushes to the hospital. Another thing we see is that Chet is driving his car and he gets pulled over. But who does he get pulled over by? Of course, it's Kyle. Douche Kyle. Douche Kyle reminds him that he's on the take and he's keeping Maddie away from whatever Chet is doing. And we don't learn what it is, but all we know is that Chet is paying him to keep Maddie away from this and basically to butt out. So Kyle is on the take. He is making money off of Chet to keep Maddie away from something. We don't know what. There wasn't much that happened at the hospital, but I just want to include this line because Shelby said, "Josh cut off his penis because something came out of my vagina." I just thought that was a hilarious line, and it's a great line read, by the way, as well. Maddie decides to go home, and she decides she's going to have a bath, and we get like a Nightmare on Elm Street style scene where these piranhas go through the drain and start biting at her and everything like that. But it was just a dream sequence. It's not important at all. It has nothing to do with the rest of the movie. And then we end up at a hotel. And in this hotel are two hookers and David Hasselhoff with a guitar singing a song to them. At first, it just seemed like that was it. It was just like a one-off kind of thing. But no, we get to the next day and he's there. He had been signed up to open the Big Wet Water Park. He's the feature lifeguard of the Big Wet Water Park because, you know, Baywatch and everything like that. Also going in there is Paul Scheer and Ving Rhames. Basically, if you don't remember them from the first movie, that's okay because Paul Scheer was apparently not important. And Ving Rhames, they showed a flashback to when he was using a motor in the first movie to kill these piranhas and chopped off his leg. They are there to get over their fear of the water. Because now it's not even piranhas anymore, it's just fear of the water. And they have a good little scene back and forth and everything like that. Basically, Paul Scheer is pushing Ving Rhames' wheelchair, and essentially Ving tells him just to throw him into the water, just immerse him in the water, because then he has to get over his fear. Like, he has to face it. It's like the mom and the child, just throw your kid in the water and he'll have to face his fear kind of thing. And there's a little back and forth because, like, then he changes his mind. He's like, "No, don't throw me in the water." And Paul's like, "Oh, I'm gonna throw you in the water." And like, this woman starts yelling at them, "No, he doesn't want to go in the water." It's kind of a fun little back and forth. I think it's a good part of the movie, and I would pay for more of Paul Scheer and Ving Rhames kind of riffing with each other. That was actually kind of fun. Everything's going well. It's the opening day. Everybody's happy, you know, and there's like David Hasselhoff sightings, there's the regular people and everything like that, and Maddie's walking around, and then she starts to hear something as she's walking around the water park. Mind you, that she's worried about these piranhas getting in, so she's extra inquisitive, and she finds that Chet has been drilling and making his own water supply so he can avoid paying for water. Basically a cheap little thing to steal water from the lake to put into his water park where he just doesn't have to go through the government or anything like that. And lo and behold, guess what? Finally starts getting pumped into the water. We first start to experience this when this little kid basically is rushing to find a lifeguard to get a Band-Aid because he got bit by something. So his mom tells him to find a lifeguard, and he goes to David Hasselhoff and asks for a Band-Aid. And basically, David Hasselhoff can't believe this kid doesn't know who he is. But this little kid just happens to be named David as well. So David Hasselhoff kind of takes a little appreciation to the ginger kid. So he gives him a Band-Aid and lets him on his way. And then all of a sudden, chaos breaks. The piranhas start eating everybody. There's blood and people running and like hitting people and knocking them out of the way. And it's just a ton of chaos as everybody tries to get out of the water. Maddie is trying to help people, and she also is getting to Chet to say, "Close it down, close it down." Kyle grabs her and drags her away, and we learn that Kyle is the douche that we know he is, and finally Maddie sees it as well. While all this is happening, Paul and Ving are not in the water yet, and Ving, being the hero that he is, asks Paul for his legs. Paul gives him these titanium legs, and he gets in the water, and he starts to slow motion shoot at the piranhas. And how is he shooting? Well, he is attached guns to the sides of his titanium legs and basically are taking the piranhas out as much as he can. And it's all slow motion and poof, poof, poof. I learned that these legs were made in one day, and they look like it. I'm not going to lie on that. But it is kind of just a fun, goofy scene, especially if you like things like Evil Dead and that kind of stuff. Hasselhoff is sitting in his chair because he's just, get out of the water. Like, he's just yelling at people, get out of the water and you'll be fine. Get out of the water, you'll be fine. And then he hears David screaming. David went back into the water. And he just keeps looking at him. He's just, little ginger moron, went back in the water. Well, of course, it tugs at his heartstrings, so he slow motion Baywatch runs to save David, who is in the lazy river, and saves him from getting eaten by piranhas. Maddie gets away from Kyle, and she gets to Chet and knees him straight in the balls, which knocks him out. So he's out of the picture for a little while. They come up with the idea that they need to drain the water from the pool, because draining the water will suck all the piranhas out and take them back into the lake, river, whatever it is. And so then they can have all the water gone, all the piranhas are gone with it, everything like that. So Maddie is trying to get people out of the water, but also get to the pumps. And Barry helps her and basically admits his love for Maddie. And Maddie apparently thought he was gay. And it's all good at this point because they're going to save the day. Big Dave, he runs past Barry and he has a piranha up his ass, basically like wiggling out of there, which Barry has to pull out. Basically, this entire thing is happening within the last like 15 minutes of the movie. And it's just chaos because it's going from one situation to the other. They have so many characters that they have to address and everything like that. So they're just addressing them one at a time, like showing their little vignettes and everything. Big Dave is going to help Barry after he helps get the piranha off his ass to go to the drain thing, to use the big drainage thing and send it the other way. And then we go to Chet, and Chet has finally woken up from getting kneed in the balls, and he runs past a little girl who's next to her dead mother. He basically throws cash at her and gets on a golf cart to try to drive away. But the golf cart, he has to back up first, so he runs over the girl he just threw cash at, and then he drives. And you know how they have those lines of flags on like opening days and stuff like that? Well, he drives through one of those, and it cuts his head clear off. The head goes flying into a naked stripper running away from the adults only pool, lands in her boobs, and she kind of like slow motion bops his head back and forth, so it kind of looks like he's getting motorboated before he dies, and she throws his head on the ground. So Chet, out of this movie, he's done. Maddie gets knocked into the water while the pools are being drained, and basically, Kyle freaks out and just like runs away because he doesn't know how to help her and he doesn't want to go in the water or anything like that. She's getting pulled into the suction of the drain and it's just holding her under. It's not like she's going to get pulled through the drain, but it's just holding her under. And so while the water's draining, she's just stuck in there. Barry, who we know can't swim, is like, I'm going to save the day, jumps in, immediately regrets it. And this was actually kind of funny because most of these movies, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, oh, they jump in, they're going to save the day, it's going to be great, everything like that. And he immediately regrets it and is like, no, I need out of here. So he gets out of here, and we learn earlier in the movie that he's really good with the trident and like picking up trash with it. And so he like throws a trident and hits the last piranha that's going to try to eat Maddie. He also finds a way to go back in and pull Maddie out, and then gives life-saving mouth-to-mouth, or the first kiss. I guess the second kiss, really, but, you know, a kiss, big kiss. Big Dave, who's gone to the drainage room, is very upset that one of these piranhas bit his ass. Nobody munches on Big Dave's ass. So he starts pouring chlorine into the tank, and he drops his marijuana cigarette in it, blowing up the remaining fish. I did see something funny about this. Chlorine is not flammable, and normally it's in tablet form, not in a like powder or watery thing that he did. Basically, this explodes. All of the fish, Barry and Maddie, are fine because they're out of the water, but it's still like this big thing. But Barry's trident was in the water, and it got launched, like launched straight up in the air. And you're wondering what's going to happen. Well, it lands straight through Kyle. Douche Kyle is also gone now. Everybody gets their just desserts. It's kind of fun to see all of the cannon fodder, all of that, get what they deserve. And that's it. The water has been drained, what was left of it, and the fish have been killed for the most part, we think, because of the explosion created by Big Dave. Except for it's not. One of the things we also had was Christopher Lloyd said he has this theory that these piranha evolve quickly and they're going to soon be able to walk. And so one of the fish that was not blown up starts to walk on the land out of the water. And the little kid, David, the ginger kid, is recording one walking on land. And his mom's just like, get away from there, David, get away from there. And he's just like, they're slow on land, it's fine. The piranha jumps off and eats David's head clear off his body. And Hasselhoff says, little ginger moron. That's the end of the movie. Jokes about gingers, boobs, piranhas. We have it all in this movie. Piranha Double D. Yeah, it's a ridiculous movie. It was exactly everything I wanted, though, in this movie. It's not like I'm sitting here going, oh, this was Oscar-worthy film and everything like that. No, but if you want something stupid to kind of like take the edge off or whatever, this is a fun one. You can definitely find some fun in this. It's a lot of skin, so obviously it's rated R, so don't show it to kids, that kind of thing. Where does it land on the rating scale for, I'll say, the bad movies I've seen on this podcast? I'll say it's definitely towards the top of the bad movies I've seen. Just because you can enjoy a lot of it. I'll say that. So my fifth and sixth movies, the best movies that I've watched for this podcast, are Friday the 13th, Jason Takes Manhattan, and Steel. And I would say it's definitely along those lines. I'll probably give it seventh on that list. Just because it's goofy fun. And that's exactly what you want of this movie. It's not going to change your life. It's not going to be anything crazy. That's what it is. You know, it's I've seen much worse for this podcast. I've seen much better for this podcast. But at the end of the day, I think this is fun. And it's exactly what you kind of want with it. None of it is going to change your mind about movies. None of it's going to be this huge thing that you're so excited to watch over and over and over again, but it's just fun. Once or twice you'll be happy to watch it. So I'm gonna put it seventh behind Steel, but above Santa with Muscles, another one that feels right in that alley of Santa with Muscles. You know, it feels about right. Rating for this, I would say, what do I want to give this? Again, it's not a good movie by any stretch of the imagination, but I would say it's not awful. I'm going to give it a 1.5 3D pukes out of 5. That's probably the best I can describe it. Again, fun movie. Something I'm glad I watched once. I don't need to see it again. But it's definitely something that I was able to enjoy. And so, therefore, yeah, it feels right, 1.5 out of 5. Again, I know that seems low, but again, this is supposed to be a bad movie. So 1.5 out of 5 is actually pretty good for it. So, yeah, that was Piranha Double D, 3 Double D. Yeah, we have some real shit coming up on the podcast. If you did not know, now on Rotten Tomatoes, because that is usually how I do my metric, is under 40% on critics and audience scores. If you did not know, on the streaming section, you can now categorize it or sort it by rotten scores. So I have found, I'm not joking, in the last 2 days, probably a good 40 movies starring big names that qualify under those that I just cannot wait to watch and tell you about. We have some absolute trash coming your way soon. So, yeah, that was Piranha 3 Double D. That was the Game for a Movie podcast. Thank you guys very much for tuning in. I have been your host, Mike. Thank you for listening to Game for a Movie podcast, where we ask, are you game for a movie? We will see you next time, and beware of the water. You never know what could be lurking in there.